providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are wrapping up this weekend's edition with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at The Money Show. And Mike is joining us actually from the Toronto Money Show. Mike has stepped away from the exhibit floor and the speaking hall to give us more of a little recap on the Toronto show, as well as a bit of a market outlook here to wrap up the show. So first and foremost, Mike, give us a little rundown of the Toronto conference. These are more generalist investor shows. So what's the overall mood there in terms of maybe a bullish, bearish balance?
Great talking with you, Corey. It's funny, you know, one of the speakers from Fidelity, he actually summed it up as, I'm not bullish, I'm not bearish, I'm cautiously optimistic, or I'm cautious. And that was kind of his money quote. And I think that probably sums it up. We've had a pretty good range on the spectrum. You know, you've got the David Rosenbergs of the world. He was very bearish, thinks the Canadian economy is already in recession and the U.S. will be there soon. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Brian Belsky from BMO was extremely bullish, thinks that, you know, the market's already obviously sniffing out a recovery. That's why it's been so strong. It's the, you know, waiting for Godot recession, as he referred to it, and so on. So you've got a couple speakers like that are opposite ends of the spectrum. And then you've got quite a few that are kind of in the happy middle that are seeing opportunities in select sectors, are seeing opportunities in the market, but are still kind of cautious. And I wouldn't say defensive, but cautious, especially after we've seen this little bit of a pullback, to kind of, you know, see how things sort out in the next several weeks heading into year end.
Now, you even mentioned it with the whole recession talk. Everyone still is talking about a recession. And you know what? I have read articles that keep on pointing to that yield curve inversion and the delay that we usually see for a recession. How many people are addressing this recession comment, especially when it comes to those yield curve considerations?
Yeah, the yield curve's definitely been discussed. You know, David had pointed out that essentially 10 months is the average amount of time from when this particular curve he mentioned inverts to when you have a recession. That's the average of, I think it was 8 or 9 different past recessions. So, you know, that was one of the things he pointed to. Others have noted that they think the Fed and the Bank of Canada cycle is over. They're firmly convinced that the inflation numbers over the next several months are going to get better, particularly if you, in the case of Canada, exclude the mortgage interest contributor to inflation. It was sort of a circular logic that, you know, that's in the inflation measure, but why is that measure of inflation going up? Because the Bank of Canada is hiking interest rates. Why is the Bank of Canada hiking interest rates? To slay inflation. It's sort of a weird way that the numbers are calculated here. So that was interesting. And then there was definitely some concern and questions out there about real estate. You know, what's the outlook in Canada for real estate? You know, are we going to have an issue with mortgages and all the adjustable rates and so on, and debt service ratios with so many interest rate hikes? Canada has higher debt loads overall in terms of consumer debt and mortgage debt and so on. So the concern was that it's going to be easier to sort of push somebody over the edge here than you might have seen in the U.S., where there was more deleveraging in the wake of our housing bust. But all in all, like I said, those are some of the threats that were talked about. But really, there seems to be some optimism. One speaker said that the Fed actually got it right this time, you know, which is kind of, we're all very critical of the Fed historically, and markets are right to do that, given how many times they've gotten it wrong. But there was some sense and some optimism that, hey, maybe the Fed, you know, and the Bank of Canada have stuck the landing, so to speak, here.
Yeah, who knows, right? This is going to be a debate that goes on well into next year. And I think it will actually take a recession for it to finally have some people either say I was right or I'm not right, but who knows when that'll happen. In terms of market sectors where people see opportunities, no doubt that AI, big tech has still led the way for markets, but we did start to see a bit of a rotation. And we've had a lot of people on the show recently pointing to small caps and financials as really lagging, and those being actually leading indicators in markets to pay attention to. Which markets are you watching most closely?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the credit environment and the bank lending situation, you know, both in the U.S. and Canada, there is talk about tighter lending standards, you know, banks being less reluctant to extend credit, particularly in the U.S., you know, in the wake of the banking crisis that we had, or I don't really call it a crisis, the banking tremors we had earlier this year with some of the bank failures there. So it's being monitored, it's being talked about. It's, as you said, kind of one of those still open-ended questions. Certainly, there were a few speakers that have talked about AI. One of them mentioned AI, you know, some of the ways AI is even transforming or impacting old industries like agriculture, smarter farming, smarter, you know, agricultural production and so on. So that was kind of an interesting tweak. And there was some talk of if you are more defensive, things like healthcare can still look attractive. So those were a few of the alternatives to just what's the broad picture. Are we in a bull market or bear market? You know, that's obviously part of the conversation, but there was some opportunistic talk in some of these. Okay, let's try and leave the macro out, you know, out on the front doorstep and focus on some of these other micro type sectors that where there may be opportunity. So we'll have to see. I mean, again, I think everybody, if we had had this conference 6-8 weeks ago, before any of this corrective action would happen, I think you'd maybe hear or see a little more optimism. There is some guarded caution, you know, as to whether or not this is something more. And there was clearly talk about what's happened with Apple and China and you know, the fight they're having. Apple loses, what, $190, $200 billion in market cap because China's making potential changes there and questions about how their relationship is going to be. But again, outside of a few things like that, again, cautious optimism, guarded optimism is probably how I'd sum up everybody's attitude.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough, right? These markets have moved up a lot, but they haven't gotten to those all-time highs, and they did start to show a little bit of weakness, but not a ton of weakness. It's still a balancing act, it seems like, between the bulls and the bears. What about commodities? What's been brought up in the commodities sector?
Sure. I think there's still some optimism, again, guarded optimism for things like gold. Precious metals have been talked about by a few speakers and a few of the presenters, you know, are still generally cautiously bullish on gold. I mean, obviously it's been that market that hasn't moved a lot one way or the other. It's been a lot of sideways action, but I think there's still some appreciation for that. Not a lot of talk about some of the other subsectors, base metals and things like that, but energy, I mean, oil is certainly getting noticed here, especially with the headlines we've had recently. And, you know, the production cuts or sustaining of production cuts by Saudi Arabia, things happening still with Russia and the Ukraine war. And then also, of course, just the supply or the demand picture there being, you know, solid despite the ultimate longer term transition of renewables. So I think there's some optimism within the commodity space, guarded optimism on gold, maybe a little more optimism when it comes to things like oil.
What about the renewables or the kind of green transition? How much of that is being discussed?
You know, it's one of those things that I think is all, you know, it's not front and center every day, like, on, you know, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or on Bloomberg or BNN or what have you. But it is something that just lingers in the background of everybody's minds, right? We all know it's going to be a thing that happens over time, but it's a long-term thing. So there's, you know, people do think about it. They do talk a little bit about it. They do, particularly uranium. There's been a few questions given how that, you know, as an alternative fuel, even, you know, nuclear power, that's been talked about a little bit. So, you know, it's part of the discussion. I wouldn't say that it's, again, you know, front and center, but it's definitely some questions and some thoughts on that.
What are people saying about uranium? Because it's been brought up here a number of times, and uranium, the price has done better. Even some of the stocks have done better, but you can make the argument there's still a lot of upside.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, the couple of questioners that mentioned it are fairly optimistic, and they want to know, okay, is this sustainable? And I think that, again, it's one of those things that's getting noticed. I wouldn't say it's dominating the conversation yet, which I guess from a, you know, standpoint of, gee, am I early or late on this move? Maybe it's early because it's not something that 50 different people are talking about in 50 different presentations, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. What about US dollar too? Let me ask quickly about that, because the dollar has gone through a nice rebound. And look, there are always going to be dollar bulls, always dollar bears. What's the maybe a more balanced argument that you've heard for the dollar?
Sure. Generally speaking, I think the consensus from most speakers is that the Fed is done, other central banks are done, and that the dollar probably did top out last year. I don't think anybody's really talking about dollar crash or alternatively, this dollar move that we've had for the last 6 to 8 weeks turning into a real takeoff like we had last year. I think it's pretty much appreciated that, you know, the Fed's at the end of its cycle. And so the dollar has probably topped out. The kinds of moves we saw last year are over for DXY.
Now, how about central banks cutting rates? It's one thing that's on a lot of investors' minds. How many people are, one, banking on rate cuts to drive markets higher? And how many think that maybe we just won't get any rate cuts?
You know, again, it sort of splits depending on the economic outlook. The speakers who are more bearish on the economy think that the Fed and the BOC are going to have to reverse these moves, you know, maybe as early next year. Those who are more excited about the economic prospects and think that, you know, we're not or we're going to dodge this recession, think that, you know, the Fed and the other central banks that have talked about higher for longer are probably on the right track. So, you know, again, it's mixed. It's sort of where you stand comes from where you sit, I think is the expression, but there's definitely, it's not, like I said, it's not tilted extremely bearish, regardless of market you're talking about, or regardless of economy you're talking about. It's also not tilted extremely bullish either. So, that sort of cautious optimism still, I think, probably applies not just to economies, markets, what that means for currencies and interest rates. It's sort of all encompassing.
Across the board. Hey, so I guess wrap us up then. What do you think would change this almost balanced discussion that people are having? A balanced amount of bulls, balanced amount of bears across the board? Is it simply a breakout either to new all-time highs or breaking some of those lows from last year?
I think it's getting past this period of seasonality. I mean, my personal opinion, and I stated this on stage, is that I think this is just a seasonal correction in a longer term bull market. Once we get through, you know, the sort of August, September doldrums, maybe into October a little bit, I think we're going to run. And I think that the bullish perspective, that if that gets confirmed, if we do just sort of, you know, this turns out to be just a little seasonal correction and it gets into October and the market starts running, that's where you're going to really see people chase, because I think people are going to want to get on board for a year-end run and for what, you know, 2024. Because if we don't get recessionary news, I mean, in the next couple of months, when are we going to get it, right? It's been that thing that's been waiting forever. So if we make it, I think a lot more people are going to either flip really bearish or really bullish, depending on what happens in the next couple of months. Because otherwise, you know, it's sort of... if the recession doesn't happen, then people are going to start buying.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for taking time away from that Toronto Money Show. I am hoping to attend at least one money show next year because, look, I like kind of the balanced discussions that it sounds like happen at those conferences. And, well, it sounds like we're still all just in this almost debate, wait and see type area where are markets going to break out? Are they going to break down? Everyone's got an opinion, but nobody can predict the future. So, hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. We will be back with you full time over the week as we are back from the conference and happy to report on some of the companies that we have met with. So, Mike, everybody who's listening, thank you very much for spending some of your weekend with us.
Thank you, Corey. Take care.